What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to six guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Hello and welcome to Imps Adventures Podcast on the Social Suplex Podcast Network. Help the network out by leaving us a 5-star review, give a donation directly through EdCircle, and become one of the amazing community by joining the Social Suplex Discord. Link is in the description. Read the Social Suplex newsletter, shout out to Trish and Tim as always, and to every person who's contributed so far. Go check out the FOH video, which was streamed live earlier this week. $20 to go in and join the lad with Keeping It Strong Down and One Nation Radio, doing the normal thing of getting drunk and talking shit, except for this year you could contribute your own topics in. So I highly recommended watch every single year, just a full on laugh. Like your face hurts by the end of it every single year. Listen to the other top notch shows here on the Social Suplex Podcast Network, One Nation Radio, Keeping It Strong Style, All Things Elite, Wrestling Art with Wrist Things, Trish and Sarah, Tone Talk, and Sam Brown's AEW Match Guide. My name is Matt Mayer, aka Imp, and this is your quick look back at the AEW week that was. 30 minutes of winter. Winter is coming. Winter is here. Winter is in Cardiff and Atlanta, Georgia. It's winter time. It's time for the winter show. And speaking of time, is that too quick just to immediately go into it? You'll just keep talking and then I'll slowly fade the audio out and then I'll eventually transition to just playing Tony Storm's music. So our winter is coming week started off with the Women's Tag Team Championship Tournament Final, Timeless Love Bombs versus Babes of Wrath. A good tussle from Mina and Harley, a good sniff from Tony. I'm just honestly happy this didn't get lost in the World's End pay-per-view shuffle and instead got a good amount of time on a telly special. The crowd was so behind both teams, such a loud competing chant between Willow and Tony at the start, and later we got a double hot tag pop for both teams as Harley and Tony got tagged in. More a fun final than a heated huge occasion feel to it. Like a series of double moves leaving the crowd clapping and chanting AEW, and we got a double tit chop, double headbutt, double sling blade, leaving every last down. Sling blade off the top and Storm Zero combo didn't secure the win, thanks to Willow being alive to senton break it. Hardly surprised by actually hitting her finishing move whilst out of it after a series of Mina spinning kicks and fists. Fell to the corner, Willow blind tagged in, and babe bomb for the win. Underdog No More called Excalibur as the commentator ramble gave Renee time to get into the ring. How does it feel to be the first women's tag team champions? Willow's tied, but Hardy's bleeding from the mouth, receiving cheer from the crowd and getting their tag team name chanted before posing up on the corners for the pyro. Tony and Mina faked a punchy jump, instead just hugged and congratulated. And that vibe and theme would carry over into Collision, and we got a segment over in Cardiff, so we'll talk about that segment later. But yeah, I really enjoyed this match, a really fun final. But it was that, it was a fun final. Where you look at these two teams, it's probably what you should have been expecting. Because anyway, I wasn't expecting like a bar burner, oh my god, gonna get some like incredible Young Bucks level of tag team wrestling here. That's not what this match was ever gonna be. A really fun match for the first women's tag team champions to be crowned in. And I think my main thing with the women's tag team tournament, it'd be nice to kind of see it build this way and be treated in the final as a relatively important thing. For me, it was always the aftermath. There's already been a bit of a wibbly wobbly trying to tie it in with all the action that's already going on, because they had the women's blood and guts to build up as well, and you got your stuff with Statlander, you got stuff with Mercedes, so there's a lot of plates in the air already. So seeing if they're able to keep the attention on this women's division, and this gives Tony a reason to feature the women in this more regular environment, and we immediately see that on the Holiday Bash special on Wednesday. We are going to be getting a focus continuing in where we're mixing in the tag stuff with the women's single stuff. Not the way WWE would do it. We're like, where you've got the women's tag champions and they're also in a title scene, where you kind of forget the champions and either the titles might not be important. When I say that, apparently currently it's in an all right space, but to the detriment of the world, like, both can't be good at the same time. That's my challenge to AEW. Have them be good at the same time. Because I feel like you've got strong champions with the Babes of Wrath, with Chris Statler, with Mercedes. The division itself is really strong. This always read as almost, I don't want to say a reward for everybody getting over and being that's first round. But yeah, when the division is this deep, you can give them something else to be like, well, yeah, this is another reason to start featuring you or keep featuring you. You all know that sometimes that featuring just isn't there. There's only one women's match. This is like, no, you've got two women's titles and you've got a tag division. If you don't feature them, you're in a bit of trouble here. Anyway, on to the other thing that's continuing this week, the Continental Classic. Jesus Christ, did this week deliver. To a point where I almost forgot that Okada versus Perry was the first one that happened, because there were so many good matches this week. I spent like Cardiff bloody brought it as well. There is a classic this week. It's not the first I'm going to be talking about, but as I've been doing with the tournament matches, it feels like it makes a lot more sense for me to just cover them all at once. So I don't go through them in show order. I instead just go through them in the order they appeared on the card, just in one big block, to talk about the classic together. So first off was the Gold League. Kazuchika Okada versus Jack Perry. Jack Perry's first C2 match replacing the injured Darby Allin, inheriting the man's 0 points, but the bigger deal being that he's the freshest man in the tournament, having not already wrestled two matches. A problem solved with a simple Kazu solution. Just push the bastard to the outside onto an AEW ring side crew worker and injure his ankle. Can't be jumping Jack if he's limping, can he? Return from the break with Okada winning a strike battle in full control, then a lovely little explosive lariat woke Jungle Jack back up. A really cool rapid corner wall run just flipping over the ducking Okada. Like, hey, just get the dance partner ducking a little lower and it'll look amazing. I mean, it's still got a whoa and an instant action replay, so it didn't look shit. One of those ones where the fact that it's just like a snaps to sudden like bang run up, the fact that it's not like absolutely beautiful, for me that kind of adds to it in a way. That like, Okada was only just able to duck enough for the move to be hit that on a smaller person, but when you do it quickly you're gonna get those little things, like, yeah, like it's not the end of the world. It looked amazing. It looked cool as hell. Counter reversal culture for an Okada finish. No reverse Rana nor Rainmaker. Quick bouncing off the ropes to try and hit something. Perry went out and hit that Rana to set up his running knee. A very unorthodox tombstone escape set up so wonderfully. Perry's post knee snare trap had his arm bit by Okada, so in return Perry had a cheeky little nibble on his knob. Just lifted up for the tombstone, was like, well, you bit me, I'm gonna bite you. Which was an escape which over on the Blue Sky World went over really well. They absolutely loved the little knob nibble to get to escape out of a tombstone. A quick second of recovery ringside and all was grand though. It took two Rainmakers to keep the man down, but what a lovely fast finish it was. After the match, Don Callis up in the ring offered the Young Bucks his bag of money in exchange for Perry joining the family. Jack, I need an answer. Remember, the seven of us and one of you. So less of a kind offer, with a direct threat to cut his strings and put him in a chair if he didn't respond. Okay, they were properly not kind. And his response, the second time tonight, I might be about to bite off more than I can chew. Hey, even in your disses, you've got to give Okada a hefty compliment. Like, that man's hanging Okada on. He's gonna let everybody know. It's like, hey guys, I had a nibble. I just gotta let you know, guys. It's gotta let you know. Luchasaurus was out as his friend, but the chair-wielding Bucks snapped in as allies, the four fighting off all the family for the Tarzan Boy Party. Later in the show, Don Callis to Canberra is more concerned about getting his pound of flesh than his money back. Set the collision challenge, you two find a partner, and we'll have a 3-on-3 match in Manchester. The collision meant dynamite. It's one of the holiday bash matches. Luchasaurus said no, and pointed at Kenny Omega's door. We got another segment, but he filmed at full gear. Another one. And this was the door that they used for all the full gear segments, just from a different angle. Like, okay, Kenny was there for that one night. He's not been at any of the other. Not to film a backstage segment. No Gareth door this week. They didn't film any more segments for a third week in a row from that. So Okada versus Perry. I really enjoyed that match. The knob nibble, amazing spot. Arguably just an amazing setup for the joke during the Don Callis bit. However, the reason that I said, oh yeah, I kind of forgot a bit that the Okada-Jack Perry match had happened. How could I know that? I even wrote down my Okada-Dong joke. How could I have forgotten this match happened? Because of the next match. This next match is why I could forget stuff like that. Kyle Fletcher versus Mike Bailey. Instant Continental Classic. Classic match. Just casually whipping out a banger of a Continental Classic belt. Like, bloody hell. But actually, Bailey with cards on his underpants ready for the game award, and give him all the awards. Bloody hell. This match was so good. The two just decided to wrestle El Rapido for the entire thing. So great to have such a unique contest in the middle of the tournament. Beadball on full athletic form with Baddie Kyle playing the slowdown and ringside mischief. Powerslam onto the top of the barricade, more than worthy of a loud holy shit ad break lead in. Keep in mind that the ringside dart reverse Vana spot was during the ad break, because it's very apparent when they come back from an ad break. The commentators go quiet, they'll do like a much higher tech shot, sometimes it'll be like a panning thing, and then they'll do the lead in, the graphics will come on, so it's very clear you've come back from ad break. But when that happened, I was like, wait, was that reverse Vana during they did a reverse Vana to the outside? Like, during the ad break. I just assumed that was on air. I was like, surely they're taking that bump on air, right? Like, nope. This is awesome. After the double knees moonsault landed on an apron napping Fletcher, shooting Starfest with legs straight up, a huge reaction after the lawn dart soon after set up the last ride style powerbomb and got kicked out of. An angry and frustrated Aussie tested his chopping strength against a mullet underdog to the tune of Fight Forever. Then that rapid flow from the start returned to just as fast, but now with the wear and tear of the last 15 minutes, like a constant constant run of oh reactions from Atlanta. Fletcher allowed Bailey to hit all of the kicks, including that one with all the rotations, but spinning to go for the corner was taking the piss, so that one got a super kick. Ultimate Weapon to the back was only just kicked out of. Carroll couldn't reach the ropes, but smartly arched his back up, so the escape still felt weak. Speedy and powerful finish after the knees to the outside crashed into Canadian Pain, right into the snap, running corner kick and brainbuster, kick out, and Atlanta erupted. We have been conditioned that Carl Fletcher can hit all of these flows, but if he hits that flow, that is it. And twice now, with the Mark Briscoe match and this one, it just felt right, especially with this one being on television. Well, I saw this get kicked out of by Mark Briscoe on pay-per-view in a title change. Surely, in a Continental Classic match in the middle of a tournament, it's not going to happen again. I was incorrect, and Atlanta rightly gave it the applause. Both lads, aware of the time limit, rushed into attempts and got reversed. In the end, Bailey flipped over and rolled Fletcher up for a surprise 3. 5 stars. All the stars. Absolutely love this. And that was it for the Continental Classic on this show. We get more, don't worry. And there's, there's some good matches. We are not done with the good Continental Classic matches this week. Happens in the G1 as well. Sometimes you just get a show where every match bangs. Every single one of them is just amazing. After the opener. Often the opening G1 match for a reason. We got a quick segment with Mark Briscoe. A wee in-ring interview segment ahead of his defense against Daniel Garcia at the Wales Winter is Coming Collision, which we'll get to. Y'all can kiss my big white ass to all his haters. Got a chant for his butt going. Wheeler Yuta, the Death Rider, to interrupt talking, walking through the crowd to secure those boos. Garcia then passed the mic when they reached the ring. Honestly, Mark, I feel kind of bad for you, man. Everything about you is just kind of sad. Threatened to break the Kentucky man's leg in their match, but Briscoe is too experienced to be shook by such a threat, calling him out on it and telling the kid to make his move. Shafir and Yuta held an irate, angry, tomato red Garcia back as he got properly angered by that. Just immediately called out on it. I just love that. Trying to sound hard, trying to sound tough, and Mark Briscoe just immediately shrugs it off. He's like, well, go on then, do it. The immediate response of, I'm gonna, yes. Such good stuff, really enjoyed it. And we'll get to their match when we get to it in Collision. The Ops, Katsuyori Shibata and Powerhouse Hobbs versus Swerve Strickland and Hangman Page. Ending this Dynamite portion of the review here with the two Ops matches. Here, both chain men entered through the crowd, Swerve equipped with a staple gun and a promise. Immediately took out Ops dojo lads and held them staple gun hostage. I mean, I say hostage, Swerve did just staple them over and over till Sabatra stopped him. Normally with a hostage, you don't immediately shoot them. They're not a hostage at that point. Swerve's like, nah, I know I'm doing it. An anarchy feel as we went dual screen, with the two different pairs brawling in two completely different areas of the building. Hangers asked for a beer after dropping Hobbs through a table, sat up on the bar and had a good old drink. Shibata and Swerve's full screen moment had Swerve sat on a chair waiting for a Katsuyori kick, brawled through the ad break, and eventually we arrived back at ringside for the telly. And Shibata immediately nearly hurt himself falling over trying to axe kick a barricade Swerve's legs out from under him, ending with them both arse up. Like, ah, oh, poor Shibata. The baddies on top slowed down and a cowboy shit my ass again from Hobbs. He just can't help himself. He can't help himself. He will say that every match he's in with Hangers. All the lads rose slowly as the crowd chanted for Swerve's house. Any teamwork from Hangers and Swerve was met with an angry stare and agreement that they just don't like each other, but they're gonna do this. Together, bombed Hobbs through the table. Buckshot back in the ring, crashed down Shibata and house call for the win. And this is what I meant by, as much as I did not want that title reign for Hangers to finish. Seeing the Herb and Hangers stuff now, oh, it's great. Just the reluctant partners that they got to fight together to fight off the Ops. And seeing on Collision that they've both got the same trajectory. Like, we are both going to be going for that AEW championship. So this isn't over. And they weren't lying when they said we're just temporary allies. And I love that Collision was being like, they are both immediately like, okay, that's dealt with. Now we're going to go for Joe. Slight problem there. There's a few things in the way here. And one of those things in the way was Eddie Kingston. So the main event was the AEW championship, Joe versus Kingston. You wanted a 2000s Ring of Honor main event. Here you go, pal. Did a great job during the show of elevating the weight of this match on both the challenger and the champion. Hook the only op out with Joe to poke as a point of frustration. A wee New York distraction who immediately got ejected ringside after grabbing Eddie's ankle. Mina Shafir, she got like three. She got like two warnings and then was able to be kicked out. Here, Hook, no, immediately, fuck off. Just had absolutely none of it there. No ad breaks either as the match was allowed to just play out, which gave us more minutes for choppy times. Palm strikes to the red and chest of men pulling wincing faces. A slugfest with both lads exchanging bombs. A cocky Joe strut after a corner Uranagi, wearing down the lad, and eventually fought back into competing chants from the crowd during yet another exchange. Joe was altered to kicks as Eddie stuck by those chops, appearing to get weaker as he shouted out in fighting spirit. A big old suplex gave Kingston a sad face when the champion kicked out of it though. Another biting submission escape, damn it, D-Lo, with no STF thanks to a nibble on the thumb. A smart ult to the outside, and once back in the ring, Joe was able to last ditch anticipation of the back fist into the Kikina clutch win. Really solid main event. Also the exact match you were expecting. If you don't like this style, I mean, what are you? I've seen them. I've seen these people do exist. But I thought it was a really solid main event, especially as Eddie Kingston, since his return, has been like slowly getting better and better, returning to his former myself. This was the first match which for me really felt like Eddie. Like, yes. Everything about the Eddie Kingston matches that I love, he was able to do in this match. Really solid main event. A great way to end the Winter is Collision telly show. And that's the other thing as well. I like that they didn't hold this off of pay-per-view. The fact that this did just very quickly over this short period build to a TV match. I mean, I have previously praised the Joe Hangers match. That first one, I was like, yes, he had a very quick build. He did the match. It was great. We move on. And then we didn't move on. We got a huge angle. Now Joe's champion. We've got a Hangers and Swerve thing happening for this title shot. Better say it's not gone anywhere at all where I thought it was going to go. Anyway, that was Dynamite. I really enjoyed Dynamite. 1000% match to watch is Kyle Fletcher versus Mike Bailey. If for whatever reason you've not watched it, because this comes out on a Monday and that aired on a Wednesday. Like, if you've not watched this and you don't have a legit reason, it is the Christmas season. People get busy, I understand. But seriously, watch Mike Bailey versus Kyle Fletcher. What are you doing? What are you doing listening to this if you've not watched it? Absolutely incredible match. And on Collision, we got another one that I am just as high on. Like, this is, in terms of like, which one do I choose? Like, you're making me choose between two matches of the week. Like, I adore both matches. You can't force me. This isn't the Game Awards. I don't have to pick. It's not like the Game Awards either, where, yeah, there's loads of great, loads of great ones. There is one clear one because it was so good, but everything here is great. No. There are two matches that I'm not going to separate because I love them both equally. But we'll get to that as we get to it in the Collision portion. So let's jump on over to Cardiff, Wales. For the Collision edition of Winter is Coming, back to Britain for our drink-aided chanting and singing. Add the Christmas Factor too, and I'm sure that this might have been one of AW's least sober crowds by the end of it. So jump on over to Cardiff, Wales.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters' 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
It might have saved Alexander.
Josh Alexander is still in it. A pickup. No! One, two, three!
Wow, Alexander's out.
Yeah, starting off with Swerve Strickland's win against Josh Alexander. Big Boy Swerve received so much Cardiff love. Even Prince Nana got, oh, we love you, Nana, we do. We love you, Nana, we do. A start to let the fans sing for their guy and tell Don Callis to fuck off. But Alexander got his leg worky times during the break after he front slammed poor Strickland's legs onto the announce desk in a great spot. Shout out to that powerbomb rotating into a power slam spot from Swerve. That thing looked feckin' beautiful. Cue big move, ah, me knee, then a little dance. That's why all wrestlers should have a signature dance. So we go, oh no! They're doing the dance wrong. Where they're selling a hurt. Swerve did his dance. He did it with his legs, but he just tells like, oh, he's not putting as much weight as he normally does onto like both of his legs. He normally crouches down a bit with both legs, but he's not quite there with one of them. Like, that's why you have a signature dance. And every wrestler should have one. Yes, including Gunter. Every wrestler should have a signature dance. Boston Fun Times as a Canadian single legged the leg hurt man. Knee pad down for the serious top rope jump. But Alexander missed. And now Josh's legs hurt too. Swerve right in. Not a moment later, nailing the house call for Canadian kick out. JML Driver secured the win in this lovely little singles match return. After the match, a quick wah-wah with the mic. It's about time he got back to the AEW Championship, a mirror of Hanger's intentions, telling Joe his days are numbered. I'm the most dangerous man in AEW. I'm declaring myself the top contender. But it's the fact that we saw this on Dynamite, there was a backstage segment with Hangman Page, where he did declare that he's going to be going for the title now that this has been done with. And then we tune into Collision and Swerve is basically cutting the same promo. And I'm just like, oh, yes. They got together, teamed together for one night. They're not friends. Then on the next night, by the time it's over, both of them have stated the same intentions, to want to do the same things. Like, oh, yes. Just gets me so excited for this. The next little note's going to be happening on Wednesday. Chris Statlander and Jamie Hayter versus Sisters of Sin. Stat in her Dune fit with Cosmic Killer on the forearms of her far extending wrist tape. I pointed it out last week, but just it was an immediate meme seeing Jamie Hayter and Chris Statlander both dressed in different eras of Dune outfits. Tekla was the last striding on the stage, which worked as a distraction for the baddie jump to get us underway. It didn't work, given as I was typing that Julia was on the outside and Sky getting lamped across the back by Hayter forearms, like immediately failed. A fun start with the two strong goodies taking it in turns to power slam the other onto Blue, then a double power slam to Sky so they could both pose going, no, I'm the stronger one. The baddies got their stompy stomp moment, but eventually poor Julia was in the ring eating a Haterade. A bloody mouth Jamie made her point after the match that she could be Stat's number one contender now, but with a spotlight watching on from a box, there was Tekla. And immediately after the break backstage with Lexi Nair, Hayter made her challenge for World's End. So if you've still got Tekla, we're still teasing Stat versus Tekla. Pretty much it feels like they're being very clear that Tekla will be next, but at World's End first we're going to be doing Hayter versus Stat. No complaints. Big Strong Girls. Let's do this. Yes. Talking of Big Strong people, let's go to the Continental Classic, because as promised, there was another match that I loved just as much as I loved Fletcher versus Bayley, and he can't make me choose between them. In the Blue League, Claudio Castagnoli versus Konosuke Takeshita. Blue League bringeth in Cardiff. Bloody hell, nom nom nom. I mean, Fletcher versus Bayley was a different level of special, but this one was a damn tasty plate of beef. Big stiff forearms, chops and power slams, a full on death sell from Konosuke after his apron dive was met by an uppercut. Big old Takeshita dive over the top after the break. A period of Swiss dominance now met with Konosuke's signatures. Blue Thunderbomb was not enough as McGuinness criticised the cover. Round and around we swang. Giant swing into the sharpshooter had Takeshita stretching for the ropes, and that arm out allowed Claudio to transition into an STF for some lovely European submission times. Cocky kicks to a grounded Takeshita's head woke that fella right back up, and into a who's stronger exchange of uppercuts and forearms. The sit and deadlift German spot got one huge reaction. A standing hidden blade of sorts felt like it was it, and had the crowd electric. A sudden pop-up uppercut showed Takeshita's fight too, to swing us into the 5-minute call and slugfest after reversals were flowing. The crowd on their feet after the double clothesline, clapping and chanting for AEW, just stood trading blows as Cardiff sang Fight Forever. The action spilling to the apron only signalled fun times for all. Genuinely, they just kept trading blows until a double boot had them both falling to ringside. Then once there, they continued that exchange too. Claudio just made it back into the ring as Bryce was raising his arms for the 10. Right into her knee and kicked out. 30 seconds remained. No raging fire. Powerbomb tried to be countered. Instead transitioned into a Castagnoli Styles clash and another kick out. The bell rang for the draw. Crowd booed. I was cheering and clapping. Like, yes, timely draw. Yes, amazing. But not a moment later, they were chanting Fight Forever again as the two just kept lamping each other. Ref spilled out and the two factions ran to separate, which I thought was great booking. It's anticipating that the crowd is maybe going to be a little annoyed that they didn't get a finish here, so you immediately just have them continue to beat each other up, and then their own factions have to run out. You got all that chaos. So if there's any negative sentiment, it's immediately washed away, so you can focus on the chaos. But for me, no negative sentiment at all. This is the point of the Continental Classic. You can have these two beef boys have an absolutely incredible match and give us no finish. That is absolutely fine. Like, yes, because you got this safe for another day. You got this same dinner again. Nom nom nom. I will eat this plate of beef. Nom nom nom. But yeah, I absolutely adored this match. Right up my alley. As much as I loved the Kyle Fletcher Mike Bayley match, I equally loved this one. You can't make me choose. But I did get another serving of Mike Bayley, this time in his tag team face-off. Still in the Gold League, Mike Bayley versus Kevin Knight. A respectful babyface tag team tournament clash. AEW has a strong history with these kinds of matches banging, so I'm probably not surprising anybody by glowing about this. Especially with two such quick and athletic lads. A match that just had guaranteed banger written all over it. With the story of Bayley's back banged up a tad after his win over Kyle Fletcher on Wednesday, whilst Knight got a good nap to prepare for this. Back from the break into an immediate shot of that amazing Knight springboard forearm to the outside. The second half of this match was so much fun in particular, save that your moves are familiar to me. Flow momentum for the later stages, and man, what a great flash finish it led to. Great to see it happen with the offense too. Like Bayley spinning for his kicks, knowing Knight might dodge, and then continuing the rotation to nail a stiff forearm. Both lads on opposite aprons, springboard colliding on collision with Bayley groggy in the corner for that awesome coast to coast. But the newer foe was met by knees up, then Bayley's spin kick hit, but he got kicked out of. Jump off Brett's rope, had Bayley's knees going, ah, and right into a rapid flow of pin attempts. The pace really kicked up, both lads trying to strike fast, and Bayley won by innovating into some sort of Rubik's bomb thingy. If any of you remember Rubik's, you're a bunch of wrestling nerds, some of you probably do. I enjoyed him when he showed up on TNA. But yeah, this wasn't the heights of Dax versus Cash, but it was still a really enjoyable, really fast-paced match. Working with the fact that Bayley had just that classic with Kyle Fletcher, so he's not going to be at 100% for this one. But he brought everything he had. Neither of them held back. Kevin Knight still won, but it wasn't easy. And it was really close. It was constantly back and forth. I feel like this is a really strong Continental Continental Classic. Even with Darby Allin's injury immediately having to shake things up, I still feel like this is a really strong year for the Classic. We're not finished yet. They could muck it up. But at the moment, feels great. Even if the final feels like it should just be Okada versus Takeshita. And if it is, you probably will see some people complain that it's predictable. You could have thrown someone else in there. I'm still for it, though. This is where we've been going. It's either that or Takeshita does win the tournament, but not against Okada. And he holds the Continental Championship to Okada's dismay. As he holds on to the International Championship, the man he hates the most has his title. He has the other one. There's a lot of good stuff he can play with here. Since we've got the Classic out of the way, let's talk about the first Women's Tag Team Championship celebration, having their moment to receive Cardiff's love. But speaking of love, Tony and Mina had already established they would be coming out to join in on the celebration. So chin up, tits out, and watch out for the love bombs. Tony only got one line out before Mercedes Moné rocked on out in a very Spice Girls Great Britain fit. A good laugh at her turning down a match because Cardiff isn't even a real country. And I'm proud of McGuinness not jumping in. Summing of the yoke off, and they shag sheep. I've seen Americans not understand that. Me being somebody from Nottingham who is a Forest fan, and our rivals are Derby, whose emblem is a ram, so they call themselves the Rams. Any Forest fan, in reaction to seeing that your team has an emblem of the ram, immediately goes, sheep, sheep, sheep shagger. That's not a thing in American culture. Also, important to note, they don't actually shag sheep. We're not calling them out on something that needs to have an inquiry. That's not what's happening here. But well done, Nigel. They got dissed. Wales got dissed, and he didn't jump in with a second. It's like, you know what? Not worth having to explain it to the Americans. It's not worth it. Widow and Harley poked fun at the championship hoarder for not having any friends, but she'll have a bunch of killers to team with on Wednesday. Mercedes' red fluffy scarf falling down accidentally mirrored the emotional disrobing the goodies had just performed. Message of the story? It's not bullying if they deserve it. That's what they teach you at school, right? That's what they teach you at school. And onto the main event, the TNT Championship. Mark Briscoe versus Daniel Garcia. Briscoe with full song and love from the Welsh. The Kentucky fella's first defence, whilst Garcia stared down a young child after a ringside kick wasn't cheered by the crowd. Then mocked there's only one, Mark Briscoe. Giving it all that, but his delivery was really just on point for the darts, so didn't deter anything. I implore any Americans listening, just watch a clip on YouTube or wherever of the darts and enjoy the drunk as hell songs from the crowd in all of their costumes. Not all of our chants are from the football. I think I've heard this one in the football, but this is a darts one. The support for Briscoe only got louder as the match went on. Honestly, just a great atmosphere for it the second the bell rang. Wales wanted to boo Garcia just as much as they wanted to cheer their TNT champion. I only brought this up earlier in the show, but the second Marina Shafir interruption got the crowd amped for her ejection, but nay, there was still a role for her to play. But bloody on dynamite, one thing by Hook, this is injustice. Hook should complain. Marina Shafir got three attempts, he got three times she was allowed to cheat. Hook, not even one. Just immediately, no, go away. Marina Shafir, like, oh, go on then you cheeky little thing. Go on then. This match was a nice reminder of just how great Garcia is. He's been busy healing it up with riders since joining. His match with Darby was his biggest solo outing, but that was just so full of shenanigan action. Here, we got to see the man genuinely have a wrestle. The kind of defense Briscoe's reign needed too. Given that he won it after a series of violent Fletcher affairs and that tables and thumbtacks match with MJF, Briscoe teased the J-Driller for the win. That was when we got our Shafir leg grab and finally ejected to Cardiff's cheer. Wheeler Yuta used the distraction to kick a man in the Kentucky dick, pile driver to end it from Garcia, but the champion kicked out and the challenger snapped. Too frustrated, Garcia wasn't concentrating as he went for the sharpshooter. Briscoe rolled him up, Daniel kicked out, but now there was no one to stop the J-Driller this time. 1-2-3, Briscoe retains, Cardiff cheers. Hooray, we go off air on a happy note. But this just felt like such a fun week of AEW. I know in the past that it's felt like Winter is Coming has been sometimes super serious, and yes, we had serious moments. We got our serious tournament going on. We got Swerve and Hangman as two angry men. We've got the serious championship matches between Eddie Kingston and Samoa Joe. But there was just a vibe around the whole shows of just fun. Just watching this felt like a really easy experience to watch all of this wrestling this week. Both Winter is Coming shows. Cardiff obviously has the crowd, and we still will be in the UK for the Manchester shows on Wednesday. But I am really positive on this Winter is Coming week. Yes, there were bigger shows with lots of title matches and the Women's Tournament final. Continental Classic still rolling on, but this week specifically massively delivering. I feel like it's especially in contrast to what we saw from the WWE this week, because I've not watched the show, but I assume if your fans are instead chanting fuck Saudi Arabia, I'm assuming something's gone wrong. I'm assuming if that's what they're chanting, something's not right. That's what they're chanting after one of their heroes is meant to have his celebratory final night, and instead they're chanting that. It's fair to say that maybe they're not in a good place. But I come out this AEW week, and my point is that maybe I'm doing a little bit of a contrast. I'm seeing the difference where I've just had a really fun time watching these AEW shows, and I come out of it feeling like I'm just going to be ending the year just on a really positive note. We've got one pay-per-view left, but I just feel like I'm in a really positive place with this company. Then I look over the aisle, and they're miserable. They're complaining. They're paying out their arse to be miserable. And I'm just like, yeah, I feel like I'm all right. right, gang. I'm doing all right. I'm doing okay. I mean, I just used the word gang. I don't like that. I've done it once before and I was like, don't like that. But that was by accident. But still, I feel like, yeah, AEW just feels like it's in a really positive place. I'm along with them. I do feel like I've gotten out of my honeymoon period, but I haven't entered into like a grumpy one where I'm criticizing everything yet. I'm still just having a solid time with the product that they're putting out there. There's lots of things building nicely. And there's a lot of characters that feel really strongly over in what they're building to as well. So it just feels like, yeah, AEW is just in a good place. Anyway, that brings me to the end of the Winter Is Coming review. I will be back for the World's End review on whatever day I'll be putting that out on. It's Christmas week, things will get screwed up. I already know that the time stuff is just going to be a bit weird, a bit wonky. But I will be missing next week's episode and then I will be back for World's End. And that should be the only one I'm missing. I should only be... For me, during Christmas period, this is not normal. Normally, I take like 2 weeks off, 2 or 3 weeks off or something. But this year, I'm like, no. It's just the one. I'm just going to be missing the one and then straight back to it for World's End. And then we're into the new year. Hooray. So, yes, I'll try and watch the Holiday Bash, but I can't guarantee it. I'm just going to have a busy period, which luckily lightens up a bit for me to watch World's End, which I'll be watching a day after, so I get like an extra Christmas day. Anyway, with that, I wish you all a Merry Christmas. This is one of the shorter ones, I'll be honest. I'm absolutely glowing. I just don't have any like more to say on like a solo thing. Honestly, it gives you more time to watch Mike Bailey versus Kyle Fletcher. If you've not done it, what's wrong with you? If you have done it, and you've not watched Collision, watch Cassinoni versus Takeshita. I equally love them both for two different reasons. Anyway, with that, I say thank you for listening, liking, engaging in any form, any manner. Always appreciated, never take it for granted. I'll be back in 2 weeks to review World End. And with that, I bid you adieu. Ta-ra, ta-ra.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.